Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in 2 Timothy, and we're in chapter 3. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. I want to ask you to take your Bibles this morning and go over to 2 Timothy in chapter 3. You know, as I do, that we're living in a strange time. The fact that we're in between Christmas and the New Year gives me a chance to speak to you about something that I think is what I might call a capstone of the year. And when we live in a day like we live, it's important to realize that we are not to be shocked by the day we live in. And the reason I say that is because we were told it would become a day like we're seeing around us. For those of us who traffic in the Bible's teaching on a routine level, as pastors, I think, we tend to take it very personally when the world is going crazy, when the churches are diminishing, when the believers are hard to discern, you know, wheat and chaff, it's hard to tell wheat from chaff. Sheep from goats, sometimes it's a difficult day. And not only among the flock of God that you see in the day-to-day, but also among the ministers, because the ministers sometimes have left the way of truth. In fact, earlier today, I was told of a deacon in another church somewhere quite a ways away from here who didn't believe. He's a deacon now, and he didn't believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He believed in the Father, Son, and Satan. And he's a deacon. See, what I'm saying is this is the kind of world we're living in, and that is basically a nice guy who's the pastor at that church, but the nice guy thing is not what God calls us to be. He calls us to be shepherds with a staff for correcting and for protecting. Just like Jesus is the great shepherd, we are the under-shepherds, and we are subjected to a whole whirlwind of controversy on every front. So I wanted to draw your attention to chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. And the verse that commends itself to me primarily is verse 14. It says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." That is my linchpin for the message. I've entitled the message, Continuance. We're coming to the end of the year. The Lord didn't come yet. And for most of us, we've been looking for that. We think things are really close. We have an older pope, which means if he plays a role like we think he might have to play, 7 years is a long time at his age. I'm a student of the Scriptures. I love the Bible. Every time I open it, it just speaks to my heart because I now am at a point in my Christian life, as well as in life in general, where I see things from an aerial perspective as well as down in the midst of the plains of day-to-day life. And so I want to just share with you a couple of things as we conclude 2018. And I want you to be mindful to continue. In fact, in verse 14, it's literally, you must continue. It's an imperative. You will not fare well if you don't dig in. You will not. This world is getting crazier and crazier. And the solicitations to error are huge. So notice the context in which this passage is brought to us. And I do want to break the chapter down into two parts. The first part is verses 1 to 13. That's the lion's share of the chapter because there's only 16 verses. But verses 1 to 13 is where Paul tells us of the difficulty that we will face. We are going to face difficulty. It starts out, this know that also in the last days perilous times shall come. It's coming. In fact, the words last days refer to the entire church age. Do you realize we are a stopping of the clock at 11:59 and the interjection of the church has been here? God's program involves Israel. You and I, we're just kind of an anomaly. We're kind of interjected in, and for 2,000 years, that clock has stopped at 59 minutes after the hour of 11. And boy, when he pulls the trigger, things are going to speed up really quickly because Israel is going to be saved in a day. We're told that in chapter 11 of the book of Romans. It's going to happen. Dry bones. And they're already taking on sinew and, you know, skin and everything since 1948. All things are pointing to that. So what I'm saying is the word last days refers to the entire church age, really. And yet I believe with good cause that we are in the last of the last days. Okay, so here we are. the last of the last days, and this passage becomes very pertinent to us. So he tells us in verses 1 to 13 of the difficulty we will face. And then in verses 14, 15, and 16, he'll tell us of the dignity we must embrace. So that's kind of my layout of the chapter as far as an outline. Let's dive in. Verse 1 says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now, I'm just going to kind of walk you through this like I walk through it. All right. When I look at that word perilous, I really don't always know how to translate that on the surface. So I have to dig in a little deeper. And when I look at this particular word, it literally has the idea of reducing strength. It has the idea of reducing your strength. It's going to wear you out. That's what he's saying. This is a potential time that will wear you out if you let it. That's why the word continuance is so important. We need to continue to keep the main thing the main thing. The main thing is the gospel. The foundation of the gospel is the word of God. Okay, it's from chapter 1 of Genesis to the last chapter of Revelation. We have Jesus being magnified in a huge way through all of the pictures of the Old Testament, whether it's sacrificial system, whether it's Joshua taking down Jericho, whether it's, you know, the high priest and how he wore his garments and whatever it may be. Everything points to Jesus. When he showed up, they should have received him, but they didn't, because by that time they had been as well brought to a place of diminished strength. It is understood by those of us who study the Bible that there are many different timetables and ways God dealt with people. It's called dispensations. The word dispensations comes from a word in the Greek, oikonomios. You'll recognize the word nomos from the word astronomy. It's the law of the stars. Astronomy, not astrology. Astronomy is the law of the stars. So nomos means law, and a dispensation is oikonomos. Oikos means the house law. Under the first dispensation, we start out in the book of Genesis in the Garden of Eden. They only had one rule: don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was the house law. When they did that and they fell, then they went under a new dispensation, because that law was done, because there was an angel put in front of that. That law was put in the rear view, and now they were subjected to a law of conscience. And right away you got Cain killing Abel. Things were crazy. Finally, God says, "It's gotten so bad, I'm just going to wipe it out with a flood." And then he brought forth human government, and he gave one law there. He says, "Whoever sheds man's blood, by man must his blood be shed." So he was saying the violence was so bad, we need to put this one right up front and center so everybody will understand, you know, this can't be tolerated. You guys need to start governing yourselves a little better. And eventually picks out Abraham, and we get into the patriarchal stage. But in those first couple, you see how God dealt differently in different dispensations. And what we see in each dispensation is that it always stumbled badly at the end. Okay, even the time of the dispensation of the law of Moses, those people, they didn't even recognize Jesus when he came. Okay, everything about their system was supposed to prime the pump for them to be able to receive him when he showed up. But they didn't. The Bible says he came unto his own, and his own received him not, right? This is what they were supposed to. But he goes on to say, thankfully, "But to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe on his name." You see, you and I are at the end of a dispensation. Just as the Israelites were at the end of theirs, they blew it, they missed Jesus. The church age is at the end of its tether, I believe. So when it says perilous, it's going to wane, it's going to mess up your strength. That's the point. The difficulty you're going to face, and I'm going to face, is that what we are up against will endeavor to diminish our strength. Jesus says, "The love of many will wax cold." Remember that? I believe that was in Matthew chapter 24, about the last days. And that's because by the time you get to this point, we've taken grace to the point where we've literally flipped it on its ear. It's folded in on itself, and we've got now a belief that grace means that we have a license to sin. Now, this is not a new concept. Paul was charged with that idea in the book of Romans, where they were saying of him that he must be suggesting that we ought to sin that grace may abound. He said, no, God forbid. You know, we established the law. We're supposed to be lawful people, people who are rich in good works. But the point is that for those of you who are trying to be a good Christian person, not under law, not under compulsion, you just love Jesus and you want to get it right, those of you who are in that category, you're being solicited by what might seem to be brothers and sisters sometimes to not be too harsh in your judgments of the world around you. Now, the problem with that is that if we don't make good, sound judgments, we won't know where to stand. If I walk into a restaurant and I got my family coming, all my kids are going to come. If I get the four chair dang right in the middle, it can be a little bit of a train wreck, okay? I got a lot of kids and grandkids now, you know? My point is, you have to make a judgment. You have to. You can't not. And one of the things you have to make is a judgment about who is really somebody that can help you in your journey and who is somebody who can detract from your journey. The Bible says, don't be deceived. Evil company corrupts good morals. So in that context of that verse, in 1 Corinthians 15, those people were saying the resurrection isn't an important issue. Do you realize there are churches today where they preach it doesn't matter whether Jesus rose from the dead as long as He rose in our hearts? I mean, it does matter that Jesus rose from the dead. Otherwise, we are, of all men, most miserable. Our faith is in vain. Everybody who's died, you know, we have no hope for them. And that's all the argument of 1 Corinthians 15. But he says, don't be deceived. Evil company corrupts good manners. And God's saying, you got to be careful. You can't just fellowship with just everybody. In fact, there's points where it says if a person's walking unruly in 2 Thessalonians, you need to withdraw from that person. You may not be able to say they're not saved, because maybe they are. Maybe they're just confused and out in the woods somewhere. But if they're walking in a disorderly manner, then you have to withdraw from them. Now, in that context, what you find is there were people who, thinking the rapture was coming, they quit working. They just quit working. And they were freeloading off of everybody. Well, he didn't come today. You got any soup? Come in your house. He says, don't even fellowship with them. Withdraw. They're walking disorderly. He says, you need to do your work. You need to mind your business. And you need to just keep your eyes on the agenda the Lord has set before us. And he was happy that they were excited about the coming of Jesus. But they were taking it to the extreme where they were just quitting working. They were thinking, well, he could come any moment. And he can. But we don't know what hour or day he's coming. So in the meantime, we need to occupy till he comes, as he himself instructed us. Perilous times. My point? You have to be careful. It will sap your strength to hang out with folks who are compromised in some big way. And everybody's compromised a little bit. We're all trying to figure it out, okay? Don't get me wrong. You just don't for any little nonsense, okay? The Bible says you need to be familiar with the two bears in Christianity. You need to bear with people. That's the first bear. And you need to forbear. Sometimes don't say anything. Just don't say anything because it doesn't matter. It's not the big issue. So those are the two bears, bearing with and forbearing. We have to learn to do that as Christians, because sometimes we can hamstring ourselves if we do not. The Bible says that this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now we know what that means. It's going to sap your strength. It's going to be a thing that's going to wear you out. It'll be dangerous because people will be falling all around you. Verse 2 says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Now, I am aware of the history of how people interpret this. It's been said that, well, every generation has said that's their generation that's coming up. You know, when the Industrial Revolution hit, all of the farmers and so forth, they were like, oh, you're crazy. You're going to go up into the big city and you're going to work at Ford or GM or whoever was back there. You know, they were going to the city and the factory. And there was a breaking down of relationships, fathers and sons. There was a little field, you know, everybody's launching out. And they would say, well, they were rebellious. No, it's not like that. This is different. This is different, okay? Even with the Industrial Revolution, we now look sometimes back over our shoulders, those of us in this room, many of us, we might look over our shoulders and say, man, that technological revolution is not all it's cracked up to be. But the younger generation doesn't know that. They think it's the biggest thing ever, and they're basically wired, okay? In their minds, they are tethered to screens. They have very few relationships, and the social ability of them to interact on a humble and gracious level is something that's not cultivated as much.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.